Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for our radio audience here in Mississippi, WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you all back to our program. Also, those tuning in through our online affiliates around the world, glad you all could join us as well. I'm excited to welcome Joshua M. Green to our program. Joshua is celebrating a great book that has a lot of people talking. It's called Unstoppable, Siggy B. Wilzig's Astonishing Journey from Auschwitz Survivor and Penniless Immigrant to Wall Street Legend. We'll talk to Joshua not only about the writing of the book, but also what it was like for him to peel back the layers of this individual, all he was able to achieve and overcome, and, of course, the example he set for so many. Joshua, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Cyrus. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you have been able to share some amazing stories over the years, and I, when I was prepping for this segment with you, Joshua, I saw the video you posted on YouTube about how this was not a story that you thought you'd be telling, but you were convinced to be able to give it another look. What has it been like for you to be able to see the response so far to Unstoppable?
Very, very gratifying. It took 7 years to put the story into a condition that was ready for publication. During that time, where there were more than 100 people interviewed, and all of them had certain comments in common. They all said that this short guy, Siggy Wilzig, he described himself as a flat-footed shrimp. He was 5 foot 5 inches tall and came to America after the worst horrors in Auschwitz and Mauthausen and Hitler's Germany. Had no money, had no education. They had kicked him out of school, grammar school. And yet when he was finished, he left behind him a banking and oil empire with more than $4 billion. That's billion with a B, $4 billion in assets. And he did it out of sheer joy and determination and grit and resilience and, you know, I think all the qualities that we would like to have ourselves.
Right.
And I thought that was a story worth telling.
It is a story worth telling, and I have to say, though, quite honestly, and I always try to be transparent, Joshua, with our radio audience, I had never heard of Siggy before reading this book. And I think, you know, when I've been sharing, you know, about the conversation I was going to be having with you, you know, people were asking me, who is that? they weren't aware of him either. Is that one of the things you've been discovering, that you are, in many ways, because of this book, you're introducing for the very first time someone who is such an example of what one can achieve if they're willing to do the work and to not give up?
That's certainly true. Of course, if you're a resident of New Jersey, of, shall we say, a certain age, then you know Siggy Wilzig. He built Trust Company Bank from a rather sleepy time operation with just a handful of branches into the largest commercial bank in the state with more than 100 branches. And everybody did business with him because he was accessible. He was the only bank president, CEO, and chairman of the board who made himself available to every customer, no matter how small their account with him might have been. He was very old school. He built his empire one customer at a time. So if you were in New Jersey, you certainly knew about him. You know, it's funny. We're beholden to many people for having brought us to this point in history. A small number of them are recognizable by name, but the great contributions to the life that we have, and certainly the opportunities we have in America, are the credit of people who will never be known. I mean, who ever heard of Siggy Wilzig outside of New Jersey? And yet he was instrumental in building the most important Holocaust Memorial Museum in the world in Washington, D.C. He and his companies were philanthropic to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars to homes for the aged and educational projects. He had seen the other side of the coin, having been a victim of Nazi Germany. And so coming here even though people may not know him nationwide, he's played a very important role in post-war American history.
Yeah. I read this book with a lot of interest because of, for one, I love, you know, as a self-professed country boy from Mississippi, Joshua, I'm always reminding people of what you can achieve no matter what you come from or where you come from. And Siggy seemed to almost take his hardships and make them a badge of honor. There are several times in the book that he brandished the numbers, of course, that were etched in his skin, you know, to be able to let people know what he had been through. In some cases, in one instance he wrote in the book, it helped him get a job, bringing his income up to $30 a week. And then in another situation, people still looked at him and wondered, who did this guy think that he was? I want to share something you wrote in the book for those who have the hardcover. It's on page 90. And in a situation where he was in a situation where he was talking about why he was the person to be able to work with this group, it was said about him, of course, you know, who is this guy? I'll say it that way because I'm on radio. But what you wrote in the book was this: such slurs only fueled Siggy's drive to succeed. He had not survived Auschwitz just to let a room full of anti-Semites push him off the road to success in America. Did you find that for yourself, Joshua, in having these conversations and doing this research, that what he had been through did not break him, it actually strengthened him?
Oh, what a very nice way of summarizing it. Cyrus, I'm very impressed with how well you studied the book. And yes, I think you have him rightly pegged. If he were here today, Siggy's message to your listeners would be never give in to bullies and never give up. Cause is righteous. And if your heart is pure, there are powers in the universe that will come to your aid. Just stay the course. I think he would have appreciated what Winston Churchill once said: if you find yourself in hell, just keep going. I mean, he would show up at a business office, and if he felt that kind of anti-Semitic vibe in the air and those daggers in people's eyes for this little guy, this outsider trying to muscle in on the oil and banking industries where only the old school guys got to play ball, he had a trick. He would roll up his sleeve and he'd point to the prisoner number that was tattooed on his arm when he arrived in Auschwitz. He'd point a finger at them and he'd say, the last person to try to intimidate me was Hitler. He didn't succeed and neither will you. And then he would turn around and walk right out of the room and beat them at their own game.
And I think that's why this story is so impressive, and so glad that you, and I'm not surprised at the response that it's getting, Joshua, for that reason, because it is the story we need right now. The other thing that I think a lot of people can relate to, myself included, is that he knew his strengths, but he also was able to recognize his limitations, and that's how he kind of built that tribe around him. Also in the book, for those who have the card cover on page 154, you talked about education, something that I think people really appreciate. You wrote this: for someone whose formal education ended with grade school, Siggy had an uncanny ability to understand complex financial formulas and translate them into action. He was a self-made man with a laser focus who could study obstacles from unusual angles and find innovative, unexpected ways around them. Then he reached out to the people he trusted most, those who had the formal training he lacked, to get his plan implemented. What I love is that he was not afraid to let it be known what he knew, but also what he did not know. What was that like for you to kind of discover or rediscover in doing your research?
Wow. Boy, you're wonderful. These questions are very insightful. There were two sides to Siggy's dealing with his own shortcomings. One was to invent stories that compensated by pure imagination. He would come up with the most wild tall. His tall tales were so tall, he made normal tall tales look short. That's how tall they were. He'd started with that in Auschwitz. He would hear some guards talking about how they need bricklayers. Well, he would walk right up and take off his prisoner cap and say, I've had 4 years as a master bricklayer. Now, first of all, that was dangerous. You could get yourself shot for talking to a guard without being asked the question. But he knew that they needed laborers, so the guards looked at one another and said, well, why kill him? Let's put him to work. So he found a job. Even though he didn't know anything about it, he watched the others, learned by watching, and then, you know, made the most of it. But then he was getting sick outside. He had to get a job indoors. So we heard another guard talking and saying that they needed a doctor's assistant in the prisoner hospital. Walked right up and said, I've had 2 years as a doctor's assistant before I came here. And they let him go in. In an interview many years later, he said, I knew as much about being a doctor's assistant as you know about belly dancing. So one way he dealt with his shortcomings was just making them up, you know, and it was to survive. He did what he had to do to survive. Now, later, when he came to America, you've got him well pegged. He never went to college. He never learned any of the principles of business. I mean, to run a bank, right? Imagine how many skills you have to learn to run a bank. His daughter, Sherry, once said to me, it was like someone performing open heart surgery without ever having studied medicine. I mean, how did he build a bank to 100 branches, the biggest commercial bank in New Jersey? His intuitions were, he called them fox-like. He would size someone up. And if they did anything at all that was like tail, if they were tapping their foot or looking furtively left and right, he would distance himself and say, well, I'm sorry, my car just had a flat tire. I got to go. Best of luck. And he would leave. He trusted his instincts that he did. If I can't give this man a loan and feel good about it, then I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And you're right. He surrounded himself with the very best possible executives and advisors and so on. He had two lawyers, not one. He would take a document that one lawyer made. He'd show it to the other lawyer just to make sure that he was getting an ironclad document in his hands. So as much as he was, let's say, an astute businessman, what really attracted me to him and convinced me that I should tell his story was the size of his heart. I mean, a lot of people said he was physically small, but they all remembered him as a giant of a man with a big heart. And even though he was so busy, you couldn't get an appointment with him. But if he heard that someone was sick or needed help, or one time one of his employees had a son who was suicidal, and Siggy had his driver take him to the man's house and just sat all day and talked with the boy and said, why are you feeling this way? And then he told him his story. Look, this is what I've been through, you know, right. And life is worth living. Siggy loved his life so much. Cyrus, he would get up in the middle of a restaurant and start singing and dancing right in the middle of a restaurant. You know, more like an entertainer than a bank president, you know. That's the kind of guy he was. And so it took 7 years, but I don't regret a day of it.
And that's why I think, Joshua, this book is so powerful. I'm so glad that you wrote it and so glad we could discuss it because it is so needed and such a great reminder for all of us as to what is possible. Again, everyone, Joshua M. Green has been our guest. Unstoppable, a perfect title for this book. Siggy B. Wilczek's astonishing journey from Auschwitz survivor and penniless immigrant to Wall Street legend, available now through our friends at Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And Joshua, how can they stay connected with you?
People are welcome to visit me at joshuamgreen.info. You'll find everything you ever needed to know and more.
Joshua, again, congratulations to you, and thank you so much for the time. I really do appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, Cyrus. I've enjoyed this. Thank you.
Thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.